Nope, I'm cutting it off. You're done.
I think we need to make that a mug, you know?
Welcome to More Philly Union, the podcast where we're as pleasantly surprised as you are that the union has finally won. We are your hosts. I'm C.
I'm E.
And I'm Paul. That was a good one. I approve. Sometimes short is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Less is more.
But before we get to that, starting with our usual housekeeping, we have a new state on the big board.
Oh, so we welcome our latest fan of the pod from South Dakota. Welcome, so South Dakota.
So now when we do our Mount Rushmore of union players, we actually have somebody who's nearby that might listen occasionally.
Absolutely. And if they tag us, we'll have to do an extra shout out to them specifically. So welcome, South Dakota.
Yes, please welcome South Dakota. So
the beautiful state of South Dakota.
Also our Help Us Help the You challenge. We are going with another download goal. So we are shooting for 3,000 downloads. We are currently at about 1,815. So, keep them coming, folks. Soon as we hit that number, we will make a donation to the foundation. And as always, if you would like to support the foundation, just go ahead and go straight to PhiladelphiaUnionFoundation.org. Click on that donate button. We did an episode earlier this season, our second season, with Alyssa Radu from the foundation. She talks a lot about the great work that they're doing down there. So feel free to dive through the archives and listen to that, because it's she's an interesting person. The foundation does a lot of cool work. It's worth a listen. So, yeah. But with that, let's get into it. Union 3, Portland Timbers 1.
Booyah!
Yeah. This was a long time coming.
On a week when we were very much not favored solely because, well, maybe not solely, but in large part due to the fact that we had so many people out for international duty.
I mean, what was the total number of union starters?
It was six, I think.
Starters? Potential starters?
Potential starters.
Regular starters.
Well, okay.
One,
because,
two,
you know,
three,
I don't count, we didn't count Bueno, because while I think he had started one game, he hadn't started any of the MLS games.
We'll say six in that case.
So actual starters, right? Gosdog not there. Martinez not there.
Blake and Lowe were not there. Blake and Harriel and McGlynn were not there. And they are all
natural
starters. So if we're not quite counting Bueno, that's six.
Yeah, and you could argue Lowe may not always be a starter, but yeah, right. He had started a bunch of the games this year.
That's right.
Because Curtin has been doing better about rotating his center defenders. Yeah, so going in with that many of your regulars are not available, I was certainly concerned. I did not know what they were going to roll out as far as a formation. And that was interesting. It was kind of gutsy. Just talking through the formation, obviously Oliver Semla got the start in net.
That guy, man.
You know, fortunately we had seen him a couple of times earlier in the year, so we knew what he could do. He had some chemistry with the back line. Mbaizo got to start out right with Harriel not available.
Yeah, it's good to
Blesnes
see.
And Elliot back in the middle, Wagner out left. So pretty good starting defense in front of Semla. So confident there.
Our captain. Let's not forget. Just tip of the hat to Bedoya starting as well.
Yeah, because they called this a 4-4-2, and I think Curtin even said that they put out two lines of four. But I don't know. Watching the game, it felt more like an empty bucket midfield, meaning you have two defenders holding that center in that center defensive position, and then two wide midfielders. So like you said, Christy, Bedoya is in that center defensive position with Jeremy Raffanello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought he was an attacking midfielder. So when I saw him there, I was like, well, are they playing him and are they playing the diamond and putting him at the top? But no, he was definitely on the defensive side with Bedoya.
Mm-hmm.
And then Quinn Sullivan was out right and Marcus Anderson playing midfield out left.
Yeah.
And then Carranza and Ora up top to round out the formation. So, you know, starting defensive line, starting attack strikers, midfield was kind of a hodgepodge, kind of sort of. I mean, yeah. Quinn Sullivan mm-hmm. has certainly been arguably the best player for the Union this season.
Definitely very impressive, you know.
And then Semla in net. So, yeah, I was worried. I'll admit, I was like, they're going to run over us in the midfield. But I was wrong and happy to be
mm-hmm.
wrong.
I think so, too, right?
This was the game where I know, Eric, not to speak for you, but you fell in love with Semla a little bit.
Well, I've already been liking Semla. I mean, yes, he had a couple oopsies in earlier games, but just the way he plays, there's a confidence. An experience. I feel like there's experience there. So
there's certainly fewer butterflies than
yes.
Holden Trent or Joe yeah. Bendick were back there.
Yeah. Again, with all love and respect to those guys. But Semla feels like this is the first, you know, I'll say substitute keeper, backup mm-hmm. keeper we've had in a while where there's less daylight between him and Andre Blake, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is absolutely great, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Semla definitely surprised me in this game. Like, I was comfortable with him being back there.
Yep.
But, and you know, we'll probably talk about it a bit, but he made some stops in this game that were, I mean, he downright stole goals from the Portland attackers.
They were Blake-esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a great job back there. Like, and a lot of the time, like Blake, he made the saves because he was in the right position.
Yeah.
He did have a couple of athletic saves, but mm-hmm. he could make them because he was in primarily the right position. It's not like he was making athletic saves to bail out the fact that he was in bad spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if it's worth mentioning in terms of lineups real quick. Portland, I don't remember the exact numbers from the announcers, but you know, they had one or two of their guys missing from international duty, but otherwise they were almost, I think, at, you know, normal, you know, lineup capacity. So again, one more reason to feel a little nervous going into this game.
And they had that one designated player. What the heck was his name? Evander, I think his name was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who apparently they had just brought in, like he'd only been with the club for like 3 days. But, you know, they were expecting right. big things from him.
Right.
Was he the one who got their one goal?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was...
I believe that was Rodriguez, who was his first MLS start.
That's what it was. Whoever mm-hmm. it was their first MLS...
Yeah.
Something goal.
Yeah.
But the guy who's... I was most impressed, just talking real quick about Portland, by Marino on Portland, who was the one who ended up playing the cross that Portland scored. He just seemed like he was all over the field making things happen for Portland. Now, made me nervous whenever a ball came close to him, but I was impressed with his touch and I was impressed with his play.
This is Marino.
Yeah, this is the Mourinho character from Portland. But yeah, let's talk about the game. I mean, the Union set up in this empty bucket midfield, and they didn't have their press was like a two-thirds press. They didn't press beyond the center circle for the first half. The entire time, anytime mm-hmm. Portland got the ball, the Union just gave them space in yep. the Portland half. And I could see Carranza wanting to go press higher, but you could practically hear Ora and Bedoya telling him to stay back until they brought the ball up to mid-circle. And so, you know, the Union set up in this kind of a, I wouldn't call it a total low block, but they were definitely seeding a large portion of the field so they could stay compact. And then there just wasn't a lot of space through the midfield and the defensive lines. Union made it tough for them to pass through, made it tough for them to dribble through. And when they would turn, they got a couple of breaks going the other direction pretty fast. It looked like the Union of old.
Yeah.
There was a definite emphasis on defense, I thought, which I was hoping was, despite the one slip up, I was hoping it was making you feel better, or had made you feel better since we watched it delayed, Paul, because, there were certain points they just could not get past them. It was one of those games where by the end, it felt like we had more people on the field.
Yeah.
And, from my early days of watching soccer, I always knew that's a bad sign. If it's more people on the field from the team you're not rooting for, in our case, it was a good sign. So, but 28th minute, we opened up the scoring with a header by Carranza.
Mm-hmm. Off a corner.
Yes.
Yeah, it was off a corner.
Yep.
It was one of the breaks. The Union, got the ball, took an attack, went out over the end line off of a Portland player to a corner. And somehow or another, there's three Portland players around Carranza.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like he jumped over them.
No.
I think he may have been standing and just headed the ball beautifully back, back to the side of the net where the ball came from, over a defender and into the side netting. It was well done header. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how he was the one who ended up with that ball on his head. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good goal. I was trying to remember it. That's why I was giving you that look. Like, wait, how did that goal go down? But yeah, now I remember, because he was barely marked. There was a bit of a, in both a poetic sense and a somewhat strategic sense, a forest of green around him, and he just got his head, poked it through the canopy as needed, and yeah,
not necessarily known for headers, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Or am I mistaken? I was going to say, yeah. I mean,
he's not afraid. Yeah, he's not afraid to score off of set pieces, right. But he's known more for his run of play.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I felt as well.
But it was a well-delivered corner.
Yeah.
I mean, we expect them at this point from Wagner. And Carranza breaking out whatever Jedi mind tricks he has to clear out some space. I mean, I'm sure some of the Portland defenders would say he pushed, but in that mixer that always happens, there's arms and elbows and stuff flying. But yeah, he just he finished it very well.
Yeah, and this game related to that. This game was, again, it was a little chippy, not as chippy as some of the other Austin games, but there was a bit of, tackles and pushing and stuff like that. People getting upset. Refs weren't calling things or calling things they shouldn't. I don't know. But this game did feel a little bit more of the chippiness was still there. Again, is that because of us, or does that just, do we play that way? The chicken and the egg thing. Do we play like that and the game gets chippy, or because the way the games get, we have to start playing chippy? But
it almost makes me wonder if I should need to watch other MLS games to see how they're being played as well. If it is the Union or if it's just the league.
Well, a little chippiness can draw fouls too, So there's probably some of that going on too, I would think. We headed into the half up 1-0.
Yeah.
Which, yay. I mean, that's always nice.
It felt it did feel like the Union were playing their game in the first half. Like you're saying, it was like they would let Portland crash against their shores, disperse the attack, and then, launch attack. But there were definitely, I felt like, obviously we got the one goal off the corner kick, but I saw the dawnings, the early signs of a strong attack, strong defense. And I was very optimistic after the first half.
Yeah, I mean, give Portland their due. They found some opportunities, but the shots were either blocked by a defender or they went wide.
Yes.
I don't remember Semlo making any super acrobatic saves in the first half. Those he saved, I think, for the second. But Yeah, I agree. Like the union were just in control. It just seemed like they were a fighter that had their hands up and they were going to take what they could get, and they weren't going to give any easy opportunities against them. So going into the second half, then things started opening up. I don't know if Portland started hearing their crowd. Their crowd probably was starting to get vocal about, hey, you're down 1-0 at home. That's not acceptable, especially at Portland. They really do pride themselves on the atmosphere there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Timber Joey has the machine all ready to go. Let's get this rolling.
The chainsaw's either going to cut through wood or it's going to cut through a Portland Timbers.
Pretty much, but they would be disappointed. It would get worse for Portland. And the 58th minute, where Sullivan, or as E dubbed him.
I totally forgot what I dubbed him. What did I dub him?
It's in the show notes.
Oh, hold on. I got the, it's.
Want to lead him in one more time there, Christy?
So in the 58th minute, Sullivan, or as E dubbed him.
I'm trying to find it.
You want me to do it one more time?
Oh, yes. No, it's fine. Baby Carranza.
Baby Carranza.
Bebe Carranza.
Carranzito?
Carranzito.
Carranzito. Scored on the rebound to make it 2-0. That was nice. Definitely got caught looking on that.
It was funny because the announcers had said at least twice during the broadcast that Raffanello was known for taking shots from distance.
Yeah.
And that Bedoya had said, watch out for him. Or Curtin had said, watch out because this kid will uncork one. And sure enough, Raffanello at some point in the second half gets on the ball. He's 40 yards from goal and nobody's pressing him. So he lets it rip. It was that ball had some speed.
Yeah. I mean, the goalkeeper, it was a shot on goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was not a pass. It was a shot for sure. Yeah.
And when he just sent that shot off, and I just remember just, one, they're always fun to watch, but two, it's like happening in slow motion now where the keeper, you realize he's not going to catch the ball. He's going to deflect it. And that thought is already starting to build in your head. Like, oh, that would be so great if one of our guys could get into the box. There goes Sullivan. He's in the box and just, puts it in. It's like, this is a great strategy. Just let Raffanello shoot from the half, essentially, and just have your forwards crash to the box.
Yeah, and Sullivan was the only one to do it. He beat a Portland defender to the ball and beat the keeper to the right side, and that was really clean and really well done and well struck by Raffanello.
Yep.
Smart heads up play by Sullivan to crash the net, just like every coach will tell you to do.
Yeah.
Follow your shot. Follow the shot. Get in there. Look for the rebound. And I don't know that there's many keepers in the world that would have actually caught that shot.
Sure.
I'm not faulting the Portland keeper in any way. It's 40 yards from goal. There's not a whole lot of attackers up there. You would have thought one of his defenders or he could have cleared it away, but Sullivan just timed his run exactly right. He was onside when the shot was delivered and he was the first one there to put it away.
Yeah, in some respect, if we were to put blame on or a lack of performance, it might be more better placed on the Portland defender. I think Miller was the defender.
Yeah.
I mean, because Sullivan does have jets. So
he does.
That got him. Mm-hmm. And he just.
The shorts are, aerodynamic.
There it is. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a great goal. And it definitely got quiet in that stadium after that second goal.
Well, that is what Ali told them to do, is to quiet this crowd in his inspirational speech at the beginning. I happened to watch right before this. So, succeeded. It was, to me, it was just nice because it looked so intentional. I feel like so many things this season have been,
surprises.
Lucky. Yeah. It felt more like, oh, we're lucky that went in. Oh, we're lucky that worked. And this felt, I mean, there's always a certain amount of luck to it, but it felt more intentional and more planned and more, professional, I guess.
What's that saying, that luck is where preparation and opportunity meet?
Oh my God. Are we doing this again?
With the square root of hard work plus.
Nope, I'm cutting it off. You're done.
No, I think we need to make that a mug. You know,
there isn't a mug big enough to hold all the iterations you guys have gone through.
We'll make it work. We'll make it work. Oh,
well, that's the joke.
That. We're going to absolutely do it. Oh, absolutely. I will say the two.
Opportunity cube times the square root of preparation.
to the factorial of hard work. And we just probably lost half of our listeners with that nerd outburst.
Yeah, but real quick, before we move on from what I want to just kind of go back to what Christy was saying there. The union were making the most of their opportunities, but Portland, I know there was at least that one. I remember it was I think it was a corner kick where the ball came all the way through the union box and it went off of a defense. One of the Portland players, like there's no way he could have missed the goal, but it went wide. It went to the right because it went off the wrong Portland player or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it was a game where things worked for the Union and not for Timbers in some way. And
yeah, that's true too.
It felt like the Union were making their own luck. They were playing with confidence somehow or another. That even after the Pachuca demolition and the 2-2 in Austin, the Union came in down six starters, but played confident. They were like, all right, we're gonna take you on in this way, and you're gonna have to come beat us. Otherwise, we're gonna take our opportunities when we get them. And then Raffanello, that was just amazing.
And I think all three of these goals, like Christy, what you said, all three of these goals were deliberate. They were intentional. I mean, yes, the Raffanello long shot was a little lucky, but the intent was there from the beginning. He's gonna take this long shot.
Right.
And the goal bounced off the keeper, and given the situation at that moment, Sullivan did the right thing. And he charged in there, beat the defender, and put in the net. And then we'll get to the third goal. But I felt like all three goals were absolutely deliberate, intentional. Well,
why don't you jump on the third goal then?
Well, then 67th minute, Lesnes to Ua, and a cross, may I say, an MLS cross that worked to Carranza for a 3-0 lead.
Christy has strong opinions about MLS crosses.
Yes, they have improved, but they're, it's usually not terribly successful.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
Yeah, no, it was great to see Carranza continue to make that run 67 minutes into this game, although he'll make them a full 120 minutes. It was an easy finish because the work was done beforehand.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it was beautiful to see. I almost fell off the couch.
I think when that goal went in, I made a comment like, for that indoor league we used to play. And I just like, that's like one of the many goals that were scored against my team. Just, our defenders couldn't stop this ball from rolling across the goal box. They have a forward who basically comes strolling in, Kron's got a little bit more step to him, and just puts it in the net. It's like, Portland, I've been there plenty of times. I know how you feel. But
it was starting to feel like the Union were going to just totally, totally run away with this game. And I was wondering, hey, is this both a reawakening of the attack and re-securing of the defense?
I felt the same way.
And then. In the 80th minute. Portland's Rodriguez scores, making it 3-1 Union. Credit to Rodriguez, apparently his first MLS start, and he comes in and scores. So, good on him just at a human level. But I still held out hope for our defense because please see previous comments.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they looked good and together and motivated. I think motivated would be my first descriptor, actually, more so than other times. So, we had a couple factors at play that could contribute to this having happened, but it was also a good goal. So
it was a good goal. I do wonder if, who miscommunicated who was picking him up because the ball did fall. And because this was not a header goal. This was a volley goal. So the ball came down to the ground and bounced up for Rodriguez. Not an easy finish. He didn't have time. I mean, he was getting closed mm-hmm. down, but it felt like somebody should have been marking somebody mm-hmm. as good mm-hmm. as Rodriguez, and either Glesnes or Mbaizo missed that assignment. But hey, good finish for them. Yeah. And when we're up 3-0, I can be magnanimous with them scoring one.
Well, and then the commentators weren't helping because they were like, oh, there's still plenty of time for them to equalize this. And I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Well, there were 10 minutes left in the
game. There were 10 minutes, and then there were 8 minutes of stoppage. So it turns out that was accurate. There would have been enough time, plenty of time to equalize, but it was not to be, thankfully.
I did find it amusing that one of the announcers said, go ahead, make it 10. I'm enjoying this game.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, it's a great game. I'm a neutral. I think this is a great game, which is, kind of nice to hear that it's just enjoying himself. And, that's good.
Well, for me, I had a wager with my good friend James out there in Portland. I always do the breakfast wager whenever our two teams play. And we watched the game delayed, right? We watched it the next day. And he texted me at one point asking if I finished watching the game. And I'm like, oh no. If he's asking me if we finished watching the game, I bet Portland won. And so we're up 3-0 and we're approaching the end of the game. I'm like,
how do we snatch defeat from the jaws of victory?
So I don't know what's worse, like getting these three goals and then losing it, or if we just would lose like by one and we didn't score anything. So that 80th minute when Rodriguez scores, I'm like, oh no, is this the beginning of a massive comeback by Portland? And I'm watching these next 10 minutes, like quietly, like dreading it. Cause I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And then it comes to 90 minutes. And that's when they add on 8 minutes. I'm thinking like, is fate writing this game that Portland ties it up in 8 minutes? Like, I can't handle this. So anyway, when that final whistle went, I'm like, oh, thank God.
You did get awfully quiet. I didn't realize that was why.
Yeah, that was why. I'm like, oh man, James, he.
So touche. So is he going to send you a Wawa gift card or a Sheetz gift card so you can go get some Sizzlies? That was fun. It was a fun game to watch. And the Union stayed in control. Like, they didn't totally lose the thread of the game. There were a couple of subs. I did look at the box score and saw that the Union out-carded the Timbers 4-1.
Woo!
And they showed those stats. So I just want to point out, right? I think Ali played the whole game.
Yeah.
He played all 90-plus. And they listed during the game the top whatever five players the most. I forget who was first. Was it
Raffanello?
Raffanello had like 7-point-something miles.
Second, I want to say it was like 7.6 to 7.5 or something like that.
And then Ali was second at 7-point-something miles. Yep. And of the five, four of them were Union players. One of them was a Portland player.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because the second half, Portland really started to mobilize. And I kept seeing like those waves of attack down the field, waves of attack. And they would, our defensive line would hold, defuse the attack and either clear it or launch it. And especially during the last 15 minutes of the second half, it was just scramble, clear. Just get that ball out of here. Just go. And then try to slow it down wherever you can. I mean, Portland was wailing away at us. Mm-hmm. I found at some points, but our defense held. And I think this game, I want to go ahead and check off both boxes. We saw good attacks. I think the attacks were really good, really confident, really well put together. They were deliberate attacks and the goals. And our defense held mostly. There, still a little bit of room there to improve. But all in all, it was a...
Well, and keeping in mind, it was Semla, who is still settling in to the role. And I think he's settling in nicely. But, there is that too. And Paul, like you said, it's not just his, it's the defenders as well, but, there is that aspect. So, I'm even stepping back one more step, it's a road win for us.
Absolutely.
Which, even years we were dominating a lot more so than we have been this year, road wins are a challenge.
Yeah, they're harder to come by.
So I don't know. I'll take it. Absolutely.
Looking at the box at the box score, it looks like the Union only made one substitution, and that was Chris Donovan coming on for Marcus Anderson in the 84th minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I wonder if that was because he wanted his lineup to run the full game, or if Curtin realized that, you know, his substitutes on the bench were Andrew Rick, Matt Real, who has played in the MLS, sure, or Owethu Makanya, and Sanders Ngabo, who I've never even heard of. So, you know, he may not have had a ton of options off the bench other than Donovan and Real, who actually have had some MLS time. So that might have reduced the, you know, who we would have considered putting in. But at the end of the day, it was good to see that lineup get the full game and prove to themselves and to others that they can do it for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was Anderson, he showed some nice, he showed some nice moves out in the field. A lot of hustle. There was at one point, as in the second half, he kind of muscled through two defenders. Again, maybe this is in that category of the younger players. I mean, I know Anderson has, you know, a decent amount of experience under his belt, I liked what I saw on the field coming from Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah. And he started making good connections, both, you know, up the field to Carranza and Ora, back with Wagner and with the other two midfielders, Raffanello and Bedoya. Like, he was through the game, he started getting more and more comfortable playing in that area because he's brought in as a striker. So, mm-hmm. you know, playing out wide like that was a little bit of a departure for him.
What was our yellow card count in that game? I feel like there was definitely Elliot got another yellow card, I think.
Four. Yes, he did.
Four. So, okay.
Sullivan, Elliot, Semla, and Ua.
Oh, that's right. Semla got one for time wasting.
Mm-hmm.
Diego Chara got one for Portland in the first half. That was a rough tackle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with the Union victory, they now are 1-1-0 if you go wins, ties, losses in MLS. So is this a winning streak for the Union now? Is this an undefeated streak?
We're going all the way.
They're still one of the few teams in MLS that has not lost a game.
Yeah.
In MLS.
Maybe our concern about the defense is a little overblown. The fact that we haven't lost a game, but it's also too few data points to make that statement. This is a big step in the right direction. I thought this game was, like, Christy, your point that this is a road game, that's really important. It kind of even amplifies the result that much more. The attack was just so confident, and those goals were great. Again, I'm repeating myself. Defense looked very strong. So, I don't know.
Certainly makes you hopeful.
Yeah.
It's early days, but, with this win, we move from 13th to 9th.
That's good. That's good. Four places.
Single digits. We're getting there. And also, our three of our folks were, voted, honored.
Moved, oh, yeah, that's right.
Or selected for the team of the match day.
Yep.
Julian Carranza, mm-hmm. Oliver Semla. Right. Oliver Semla and Jim Curtin.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have been the code that Paul and I were talking about before the game. That was really nice to see. Good for all of them. Good for Semla. Coming in.
Apparently he had four saves in that game.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Yeah, in his first action since March 1st. Yeah.
And
they were good saves. There were two breakaways where it was him and the Portland player that he stopped. He stopped their shot from going in, and just really well done by him.
The woodwork had two, so I guess it's good that he outnumbered that.
Yeah,
or it might have been on the match. And in other just, you know, little tidbits, Gleznes turned 30 on March 25th.
Wow.
So happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday.
March 25th, also the 14th anniversary of our first ever match
against Seattle.
Yes.
Wow.
So, which I vividly remember watching in Ben's basement.
Did I see the Union social media put up the team photo from that game?
And they
it was
did.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yes, they did. And they are also back, Paul, if you didn't see it, they're also back to the very creative smack talking.
Oh, yeah.
They spelled out you lost in tree stumps.
I saw it.
The Portland game. Yeah. Trying to figure out how they did that. But yeah, it's pretty good.
The trash talk game was strong.
I know you enjoy that quite a bit. Yeah. So, yeah. So, 14th anniversary, which is remarkable. Very much remember that and very much remember going to a bar with the intention of watching it and then finding out that the bar had decided they were closing right as the game was coming on. So we hightailed it to a friend's basement.
Oh gosh, I remember that now. Yeah.
About, I don't know, 40 minutes away maybe. And for, you know, all kinds of reasons and watched it there. But that was also
I remember that game. I was actually traveling for work.
You probably were. Yeah.
And that game in particular, I was traveling to work up in Massachusetts. Interestingly, one of the other guys that was at that site in Massachusetts was originally from Philadelphia, also was a season ticket member for the Union, although he lived in Massachusetts. And so we got together and went to a bar and watched them play Seattle. So we were in a Massachusetts bar watching an MLS game of Philadelphia versus Seattle in Boston. They were very understanding of us. I mean, we bought plenty of drinks, but you know.
Well, as long as you're not watching a New York team, you're good.
Yeah, true.
And
that was the game that gave birth to the line that we've uttered many times. And Christy, you're nodding. I'll let you take it. Yeah.
Yeah. That the also the 14th anniversary of this is your team, Philadelphia.
This is your team, Philadelphia.
And the actual last nail in coffin of any respect I had for Alexi Lawless.
That comment did not rank very high in my favorite Alexi Lawless comments.
No, it's amazing how that is. I can see him. I can hear it. It's like
I can literally still hear that because we're you know, Seattle is handing us our hat and he's like, this is your team, Philadelphia. It's like, come on, dude. Like,
Yeah.
I mean,
look, so much to say about that.
Whenever we get Alexi on the show, we'll talk to him about it. But that could be a whole blemish in his record.
That could be an additional 15 minutes that nobody wants to hear. If you just let me soliloquy about it. But anyway, so and just in one last fun little positive tidbit, rather than talking about Alexi. Quinn Sullivan's younger brother.
Kevin.
I do not know. Is it Kevin? Okay, thank you. Because I wasn't sure if it was like
Kevin with an A.
I wasn't sure if it was a creative spelling of Kevin or okay. So Kevin made his Union 2 debut at the age of 14 last weekend. So congrats to him. My God, they're all babies.
Well, you know, the big news around him is that he's being courted by Manchester City.
And
so, you know, he may end up not ever coming and being and playing for the Union.
Wow.
So by getting him on Union 2, maybe they recover something. You know, maybe they have to, maybe we'll have to pay some smaller transfer fee to get him over to Man City. But yeah, I mean, he's considered a generational talent almost at this age. I mean, it's hard to tell at 14, but seeing what Quinn's doing now at 19, almost 20, you know, the hopes for Kevin are very high. So building on Kevin Sullivan and, you know, possible greatness, hopefully playing for the U.S. national team at some point, the U.S. did play in the final for the CONCACAF Nations League this weekend, and they had another Dulce Serra against Mexico to win 2-0 and maintain their clutches as the only team to have ever won the CONCACAF Nations League. I don't know exactly how many times that has been contested, but the U.S. has won it at least, I think, the last 3 years. And yeah, it just seems like there's a real shift in power in CONCACAF from a national men's team. That the U.S. has just dominated Mexico and all of CONCACAF for that matter for the last 3 years. When they show up to play, they show up and win. And so, yeah, good on the U.S. Maybe at some point I'll turn back around and watch the game. But I knew that they beat Andre Blake and mm-hmm. Damian Lowe, who played in the midfield last week in the semifinal game. I don't remember exactly what the score was, but the U.S. advanced after beating Jamaica to play Mexico, which they won. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, exciting.
I did see a cute little piece that Tyler Adams is now a father, and his baby boy got to see him. Not that he understood what he was watching, but got to see him play his first game for that final, which was very sweet. So very there was cool. a cute little picture of Pulisic kind of making happy faces at the baby while Tyler held him. But
just pointing out too that Jamaica did go on to win the third place game against Panama. So
oh, good for them.
So Andre got a clean sheet in that game.
Good. So next Union game is Minnesota at Subaru Park on Saturday the 30th at 2 p.m. Eastern, a very Paul-friendly time. not sure why it's quite that early, but I don't know if it's Easter timing, lots of games, who knows. But hey, so
our Apple overlords have some reason.
Yes beloved Apple overlords. So and Minnesota is currently in first place in the Western Conference,
an inverse of the Union's record. Yeah. You know, three wins and one draw, where we have three draws and one win.
Yeah. How about that?
Someone's going home with hopefully not the Union. Hopefully the Union will send Minnesota home with their first loss of the season.
I'm hopeful that because they're at home, it might make a difference.
Yeah, I hope so.
And we have the tickets for that game.
Yep.
We do?
Yeah. Surprise! It's on the calendar.
Well, the weather is looking nice for Saturday. It's going to be partly sunny and a high of 60. Sunday is going to be a high of 62. So, you know, hopefully that means that the game will be cool but comfortable, but not cold.
Paul, you want the tickets?
Hey, you know, repost us or chat at us, and we'll see about making
a hashtag. We'll give you our tickets.
Oh, I don't even know what to say because I had no idea that we had tickets.
Honestly, I forgot all about it too. And then as we're talking about Minnesota, I'm like, wait a minute, Minnesota, is that one of the games we picked? And just now as we're talking, I pulled up my calendar. I'm like, oh man, that's us.
I'm like, why are you telling me this now? But no, I understand. I totally forgot. Just realized it too. Okay.
Well,
we'll see what goes on, I guess. All right. Well, do you guys have anything else?
Are your thoughts about this game against Minnesota? I would guess cautiously optimistic, although I expect it's going to be another draw. it just feels to me like we'll see if the Union can put together two confident games, but going up against Minnesota playing well, it might take a confidence game from the Union to get a draw out of this one.
I'm not
sure what to think, to be honest. After this past week, all bets are off. But
I'm kind of trying to envision the Val Kilmer, Robert Downey Jr. intersection curve, whereas one's ascending and the other's descending. Where they meet is the greatest thing ever.
Kiss, bang, bang.
You got it. So hopefully we are on the ascent with this win from Portland. I don't know what Minnesota's record is. I mean, I know they haven't lost yet, but hopefully that draw was a recent result. And now they're on the decline, and this supply and demand curve is going to we just lost all of our listeners. I'm hopeful that, the Key and Peele reference, maybe not, but hopefully, like you said, this Portland game is a bit of a catalyst for us, and we start keeping that momentum going, both on the attack and the solidification of our defense. And I think if we do that at home, it'll be our game to lose.
What if having the international players come back actually makes things worse?
Right?
What if they should just stick with it?
Yeah, it's kind of like the team lineup of being down a man, right? Sometimes when you have a weaker, on paper, a weaker arrangement, it forces everyone to up their game in such a way that they actually play better.
That's what I was thinking. But I mean, it won't work all the time. So I think
we'll see on Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll know by about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. Anything else this time?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. Our website is amorphillyunion.com. You can email us at pod@amorphillyunion.com. On Instagram, YouTube, and Threads, we are amorphillyunion, and on Twitter, amorphillyu. Please enjoy our Spotify playlist, amorphillyunion, which I have added some text to make it a little more clear, which is the pod, which is the playlist, but you guys are smart. You can figure it out. And you can get our podcast wherever you get yours. Google for one more podcast, and then that's it. And then Apple, Spotify, Amazon, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, all the things. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to a talk about bell curves and formularies and Lord knows what all. Thank you truly for tuning in for another episode of Amorphilia Union. We are your hosts. I'm C.
I'm E.
And I'm Paul.
Union.
You're going to learn a little bit. You think you know a lot. Then you're going to learn a lot, and you realize you don't know anything. I mean, I hadn't reached that second tier yet. But anyway.